And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Tuesday, July 29th. It's 1:09 in the afternoon. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. And Bridget, how is your afternoon going?
Well, I'm in Iowa. It's hot. It's not as hot as it was yesterday, perhaps, but whew, it's like being in a big old baking oven around here.
Yeah. Now, what part of Iowa are you in?
All right. I've been waiting for this question. I went through earlier today, Ottumwa, Iowa, which is home to what fabulous TV character?
Ottumwa, Iowa.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I have no clue.
All right, Addison. Oh, poor Addison. I'm afraid you're just a smidge young for this, but are you in on this at all, Addison? Want to give it a whirl?
Maybe. One sec here.
Hey, no, hey, no Google, bud. No.
Okay, then no.
No.
All right, so people are yelling at their radios because it was one of the highest number of viewers ever for a series finale. It was staged during the Korean conflict. They worked at a mobile army surgical hospital.
MASH?
Radar O'Reilly was on MASH.
Who? Really?
Radar O'Reilly claimed he was from Ottumwa, Iowa.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I learned something new today. I did not know that.
So that is their claim to fame. But yeah, been rolling through Iowa. Saw a lot of corn. A lot of soybeans. Some more corn. Oh, and hogs. So, yeah, that's the extent of Iowa right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, northwestern Iowa last night and stretching into southern Minnesota, they got raked with 90-plus mile-an-hour winds. I saw pictures of numerous grain bins down and just, it's not what you want to see. One of my friends from outside the Twin Cities sent me pictures of trees just totally uprooted. And those storms are going to shift a little further south. You might be in on that tonight, Bridget. They're going to ride pretty much along that I-80 corridor, so that's close enough to you.
I'll be in Sioux Falls by then.
Okay, well, then I guess you won't have to worry about it. But hopefully you leave early enough where you're not driving through it. Because, the areas from Sioux Falls is going to be right on the northern end of that. I think most of it's going to be Nebraska, Iowa, but it's going to be close. So careful on your drive over to Sioux Falls later today.
These reoccurring storms, as you said, we've seen uprooted trees, grain bins are down. This is a point in time where our corn is tall enough where if it's not well rooted, we could see corn that's laid over and or broken off, which will affect us at harvest. Last night in Centerville, South Dakota, there was a 15,000-head dairy that was affected. The barns were blown down and the parlor was destroyed.
Ugh.
So they spent all night relocating 15,000 cows because they got to get milked. You don't just ask the cows to, you guys mind if you hold on for a little while? Or you gals, hold still. We'll get to you as soon as we can. Nope, there were lining up semis throughout the middle of the night to try to get those cattle moved out of there.
Wow. Yeah. No, it's been, it has been a little rough weather wise around here lately. And looks like things are going to quiet down here, at least in our area. That's good news over the next few days. We've got partly cloudy skies out there right now with temps in the mid and upper 70s across the area. We'll top out about 80 this afternoon with maybe a few isolated showers popping up. There's a little bit on radar right now south of Bismarck. Around the Vishek area, and again, we're not looking at a lot, but we can't rule out an isolated pop-up shower as we head towards evening. And then tonight we'll have partly cloudy skies, upper 50s, and Wednesday, rinse and repeat, just like today. Sunshine, a few clouds billowing up in the afternoon, could see a few showers tomorrow, but again, many areas not receiving a drop with highs in the upper 70s. And then we'll stay in the upper 70s Thursday and Friday. Pleasantly cool mornings with lows in the low to mid 50s. Not bad. The only caveat is, unfortunately, we're going to see a little bit of that Canadian smoke. It's not going to be as bad as it was the other week, but we'll still, especially if you're sensitive, to the smoke, you might want to limit your time outdoors later this week. And then the weekend, the winds turn to the south. That pushes that smoke out of here, but it also brings in more moisture and a chance for showers and thunderstorms over the weekend. I'm not seeing a washout by any means, but if you have outdoor plans this weekend, a slightly better chance for some showers and thunderstorms. Don't see any real summer heat returning until later next week. So if you're not a fan of the summer heat and humidity, you'll like the rest of this week. Looking pretty good. Looking pretty good.
Well, I tell you what, for those of us who will be in Baltic, South Dakota on Thursday, and that includes you and me, that's actually a bit of a welcome relief because being able to be outside at an event like that, which is an outdoor farm show with live equipment demonstrations, booths to see, speakers to hear, it is kind of nice to have an opportunity to feel a little bit cooler rather than standing around and watching each other sweat. Okay for Thursday. Yeah. And there's a lot going on. That field site opens at 7 a.m. There's usually a line of cars moving in there at 6:30 in the morning. I will be there in time to do the morning shows, so we get a chance to get like that bird's eye view of what's happening right there at the facilities. Then I'm on a panel and leading that one at about 11 o'clock. We do our radio show from 11 to 2 on live on site. We have a couple of guests who are fan favorites, if you will. Tanner Wintenhoff. Tanner is with the Farm for Profit podcast, and Andy Pastor, known as Andy Clean, who provides soap to John Deere for their parts counters that they can sell to farmers and others, which I was the first fish house that got to use Andy Clean. And then additionally, there's another panel I'll be doing at 2:30. So stop and say hi if you're at any of those. Would love to meet and greet with a lot of folks, just simply to know who they are, shake hands. We'll be manning our booth as well, which will be located next to the Hefty Naturals and close to the Fendt equipment as well. So take time to stop. We look forward to visiting with all of you.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're down there, come on, come on out and say hello. I know, Bryce, from, Weather 2020 and the LRC, he'll be down there if you want to talk with Bryce as well about the LRC. So, yeah, it's always a fun time. They could stretch this over more than one day, I bet, though, you know, and just to
get, but the point of it is to keep it nice and compact so everybody can kind of get in and get out. Could you stretch it out? Sure. But I think that just dilutes the fact that you want folks to get in there, to get business done, because it's towards the end of the summer. We're thinking towards harvest. We are, everybody's had a busy year, and I feel like we lost a lot of summer this year with so many storm cleanup days that we've had to do. So I think this is a really good recipe of what they're doing right there.
Good deal. Good deal. And we've got a different guest coming up here, Bridget. You lined this up, and Justin is in-house here already. And I've been talking with him behind the scenes, and very interesting. He raises popcorn. You don't see too much of that in North Dakota.
Most of the popcorn for the United States is raised in states like Missouri. And Justin Halverson of the Sheldon, North Dakota area, he raises popcorn up here. In fact, a friend of his gave me a sample of some homegrown popcorn from up by Gilby as well. And I have a lot of questions. I hope the rest of you do too. So get ready to call us on the JLA insurance phone line at 701-293-9000. And we will return after a market update from the American Ag Network. If you want to chat a little further about your protection on the internet, cybersecurity for your farm or agribusiness, and so much more, Chris Sherman will be joining us down in Baltic, South Dakota for Ag PhD Field Day. He'll be at a booth in the AC shop. Stop by and ask him about the fence check assessment, because you might want to double check, do I have what I need to be secure in my cybersecurity? Well, Chris will help you assess that. Thanks for being here this afternoon while we visit with Justin Halverson. Justin is from the Sheldon, North Dakota area, and has the slightly unusual title of raising popcorn in North Dakota. So how few of you are there, Justin? This isn't something that we get to see very often.
I don't know how many there are in North Dakota, but there can't be too many. I guess I haven't researched how many there is, but I don't know. Maybe.
I'm going to take a stab that as a guy who raises field corn, how did you decide to branch off into popcorn as well?
So it's a long story. I used to be on the North Dakota Corn Growers Association, and we pop popcorn at the booth at Big Iron every year, and our executive director, Brenda Elmer, she came up with the idea, why don't we get a board member to grow some popcorn so we could pop North Dakota popcorn at the booth, and I took that into 6 acres.
Well, now, what does 6 acres yield in terms of, okay, so people are buying popcorn at the store. What does six acres yield?
I think I had about 600 bushel.
Wow.
In the bin.
Wow.
So,
I mean, in traditional corn, you know, whether it's for feed, you know, we want these hot, humid days with moisture. Is that the same for raising popcorn, too? Does it like the same weather conditions as well?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. It's just like same weather as field corn.
So it's not like the cartoons where if it gets too hot, you see the actual fields, the corn just pops?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, I had worries about if it was going to be too wet. It's like, I can't put it through the dryer to dry it. So it was a little on the wetter side when we combined it. So I just put it in the dryer bin with a big fan on it, and we ran a bunch of air across it.
Okay.
Because it's got to be, it seems like about that 12, 13 moisture. If it's too wet, it doesn't pop right.
And what's the difference between harvesting popcorn opposed to feed corn or sweet corn?
Not much. I use the same combine and
really?
Everything. I had to change a few settings on it, but
okay.
Yeah. Just got to clean it out really well before you start.
Right. Interesting.
Well, for the field corn and the popcorn, but sweet corn, you would not be running through a combine.
No. Yeah.
Sweet corn is more of a hand harvest.
Yep.
So, Justin, when it comes to the popcorn, do you see any variance in seed? Like, if you held the seed up to a kernel of field corn, you would be able to tell the difference very clearly, correct?
Oh, yeah. So, story last year when I was going to plant it, I thought I'd just use my corn plates, regular corn plates, and we opened the bag up, and I'm like, I don't know if this is going to work because it's a really small seed. And it worked kind of, but it was kind of not the greatest stand. So, this year when I planted it, I went and got some popcorn or plates that were made for popcorn size seed.
So are you, when you're doing this, are you planting and fertilizing at the same level that you're doing for your field corn?
Yeah, basically. And I side dress it like I do my field corn.
All right. You said that moisture content about 13 to 14%. How does that compare as to where you're normally trying to take your field corn out of the field?
Yeah, field corn, you know, take it, like to take it 18, 21 and then dry it down in the dryer to, you know, 15 or whatever. So you want it a little drier than that, than field corn.
Is it short? Like sweet corn, you can tell, is a size difference.
Yeah, before I came in, I just walked out in the field there. It's starting to tassel, and yeah, it's shorter corn. It's about head high or whatever where the tassels are at, so it's a little shorter than field corn.
Now, Bridget, you said that the majority of popcorn is grown in, did you say Mississippi?
Missouri.
Oh, in Missouri.
Missouri.
Why Missouri?
And I think, Justin, you can help me with this. It depends on your hybrid because it likes a longer day length, generally speaking, what they're raising depending on how they're going to use it. Go ahead.
So how I found the seed was I went to our local co-op, Plains Grains and Agronomy in Enderlin, and we just pulled out the garden catalog, and the lowest day stuff they had, that catalog had, was 98 day. So I figured I've raised 98 day before, so I tried that, and that's what I've been growing.
Huh. Interesting.
So do you have a resource person that is like, hey, this is my corn growing pal, and you get to go ask them a bunch of questions when it comes to, you know, what to do here or there?
No, I kind of just researched it online. That's kind of what I did.
Okay.
Because no one really knows about it up here, so I kind of researched it online is basically what I found my information from.
And so, you know, you've been raising corn for popcorn for how long now? A year?
Last year was the first year.
Last year was the first year.
Yep.
Do you find it more? Do you like it more so than raising feed corn, or it doesn't matter?
It doesn't matter. It's
no.
I just wanted some little more diversity and something. You know, commodity prices are down right now, and something that maybe could add to the farm.
Right. So kind of diversify things a little bit.
Yep.
All right.
So one of your board members with Corn Growers is a friend of mine as well, and he dropped off what looks like black popcorn seeds. And with I can pop it in an air popper or in a kettle, and he told me that it's going to pop white with a black center point to it. So is your popcorn like that? Do you have a variation in colors or difference in taste of any sort?
Mine's called a yellow popcorn, so it kind of a off-white kernel, mushroom or whatever you call it. So it looks like normal popcorn or whatever. But when I first tried it after we harvested it there, it seemed like it had kind of a little bit of a sweet taste to it, a little bit. So I don't know. I don't know if that picks up from growing in certain areas or what it is. But.
Are you just going to get a cow so you can make butter to go with the popcorn?
I ended up with high blood pressure, and I can't use too much salt and butter now. So I've been eating it just plain, and I think it's good.
So if you put your like a blind taste test, if you put your popcorn next to, let's say, some leading brand that you buy in the store, can you tell the difference?
I haven't tried that yet. So
no,
I might have to do that.
Okay.
So
all right. I've got a lot of questions in regards to, is there a difference in how you store it, where you're selling it for people to get a hold of it, and so much more. But we're going to touch on those when we return from our bottom of the hour news. So we want to make sure to open up that phone line for folks who have questions as well. And you can reach out to us on the JLA insurance phone line at 701-293-9000. We will be back to continue talking with Justin Halverson about his popcorn here in North Dakota. And thanks for joining us, as well as following along with our Here We Grow 2025 as we are growing wheat. And we have a couple of sponsors who've been a big part of that as our crop is approaching harvest very soon. Thank you to the folks over at Ellingson Drainage. It's been fabulous to work with them on the last 3 years of our project. And just remember, farmers are taxed on what the soil could produce, the productivity index. Paying highest tax but not getting maximum yield to match your taxes is not a great place to be. So tiling could be the answer to this. And then also to Cotico Fuels. They keep your farm running not only with diesel, but gasoline, also bulk oils, and propane for those corn dryers if we need them later this year. So thanks to those folks for helping us out. We are visiting with Justin Halverson. He is from the Sheldon, North Dakota area, and we're talking about him raising popcorn. So, Justin, I mentioned Ellingson Drainage. Does popcorn have a preference about whether or not their feet are wet, so to speak? Because I know that we tile cornfields for a particular reason. Does popcorn require drier soil?
It seems like it's just like a normal field corn plant for water, okay. For water needs and stuff. So.
And Justin, so you've been doing this for a year now. What are your plans? What are your future plans? How do you want? Do you want to grow this? Do you want to be able to sell this in the stores, or what's?
Yeah,
what's
so
your outlook?
My plan is I hope to get it into retail stores around the area and sell it online and ship it and stuff and that kind of stuff.
How difficult is that? I mean, obviously you'll have to promote it, but in terms of health. And making sure the packaging is done correctly, is that a little more difficult than people realize?
Yeah, I'm trying to find time to do it here with farming going on.
Right.
So trying to find get a spot in the shop to cordoned off for doing it and stuff. And like right now we're hand cleaning it with pans right now. And I gotta find a better way of cleaning it if I can find someone that will take it and clean it that's food safety
right
qualified or whatever. So but yeah, we're hand cleaning it and kind of hand packaging it. It's kind of local homegrown kind of thing. So right now
I think that would do, especially up here locally. I think people would much rather buy some locally grown stuff than over-the-counter stuff, the national brand. So
yep, that's what I'm kind of going for, is locally grown.
Good deal.
So when you're thinking about packaging it up, how young are your kids? Is this a place to start them, like, with 4-H projects? So that if they're helping you hand clean it, maybe that's a good spot.
Well, I don't have any kids right now, so it's me and my two employees on the farm, so.
Okay. Well, we're going to need another plan of attack. Let me go back to the drawing board on that one. All right. So are you storing this popcorn as a bulk item, like in a bulk grain bin, or do you have to bag it and keep it separately somewhere else or any different storage conditions?
Right now, it's just in a bin. It's in a, you know, flat bottom bin kind of one that's got big aeration airflow, so I had to dry it down, and I'm hoping to move it to a hopper bin here before harvest. So,
got enough space for everything at that, right?
Yep.
That'd be excellent. And you said there's not a lot of other folks that are making the investment or the time to get in and raise popcorn. Would you encourage others?
I just don't know. You know, it doesn't take many acres to grow a lot of popcorn, so it's kind of a small thing. I mean, I end up with 6 acres last year, and we dang near filled a semi full, and I still have 500 bushel of that or whatever. So,
wow, were you really surprised at the yield? Did you expect that it would fill a semi?
Well, that's why I ended up with 6 acres, because I was like, I don't know what it's going to yield. You know, I don't know if it's going to yield 40 bushel or what. And it ended up, I don't know what the numbers are, but it was 600 bushel on 6.5 acres or something like that. So,
so where are you going to put, do you have room to put this year's harvest?
Well, I'll probably end up putting it in that same dryer bin to dry it down, because I'm not going to put it through the dryer. So.
Right. Oh, man.
In a way, I would really like you to run a little bit through the dryer, just a little bit, just to get a video of that.
The top of the dryer will pop off.
You're like the best type of thing that Orville Redenbacher could never do. This would be awesome. I'd love to see it. So as a guy farming out by Sheldon, talk about your conditions right now, what your fields look like. You guys had some very heavy winds. At the time that Enderlin was hit by the storm.
Yep.
So what are things looking like for you right now?
Well, we were doing pretty good there out east of Sheldon there, and now we got, I think it's over 3 inches, so I got water standing everywhere again. Mm. And but everywhere else, you know, we farm from Sheldon over east to Leonard, kind of that stretch there.
Okay.
You know, over east there, yep, it's a lot better. We have some drainage over there now, so it's... Corn's looking really, really nice so far. The beans kind of...
Good.
I can never tell beans until I hit them with the combine, it seems like, you know, the yield.
No good way to judge them until you hit that point of harvest.
Yep.
Are you doing anything besides the corn, the soybeans, and the popcorn?
So I also grow canola, too. I got about 425 acres of canola. Growing too, so.
And are you a guy are you taking it into the crush plant as something that's kind of new for you? Is this your first year?
Nope, actually, how many years has it been? 7? Growing it for 7 years, and that was an idea that came up, and I got Enderlin crush plant right in my back door.
Right.
Maybe try it and see what it does, and it works pretty good, especially with the moisture we have.
Wow. Now, you said you had to give a shout out to somebody as well. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was just going to mention the corn's going to be at the North Dakota corn booth at Big Iron. I'm supplying the popcorn there for them to pop or whatever. So people want to stop by and get free local grown popcorn and check on their Corn Grower Association membership, and I think we're giving away a seed depth tool and a bottle opener and at the booth too. So
when is that, Justin?
Big Iron.
Yeah. What are the dates on that for people that don't know?
9th, 10th, and 11th of September.
All right.
Of September. Yep. And so, Justin, with Corn Growers, were you one of the guys that was recently in Washington, D.C. doing some lobbying?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, but you have done that in the past as a member of the board.
Yeah, I was. Well, I'm termed off on the board a couple years ago.
Sure.
But, yeah, I was in D.C. 5 years ago, somewhere in there.
So when you think about that, I know that oftentimes I hear farmers say, I don't have time to be a part of all of these things. And I get that. Our lives are really, really busy. But when you think about what you get out of it as a grower being part of that commodity board, can you share some of that insight with folks who are listening?
Yeah, it's my first year when I got onto the corn growers, I was amazed at what goes on and didn't know that all that stuff went on. And yeah, it's important to, when they go out to DC and talk to everyone out there, it's really important.
Have you been asked any surprising questions when you are visiting with lawmakers in regards to your operation or just the farm economy?
I can't think of any right now, but I'm sure there was.
Well, last night I had a chance to speak down here in Illinois, and sometimes we get questions on air that take us a little bit by surprise. So I would imagine that you maybe get that as well, because you're talking with a lot of congressional leaders that don't have a background, so to speak, in what you are well versed in when it comes to.
Yeah, and it's going to be less and less people connected to ag also. So.
And that, just so. Okay. I had a question on air one day, and somebody asked me, how long does it take for the steaks to grow back after you take them out of the cow?
They were joking, I hope.
No, they were not. Took me a little time to that took me a moment to recover and just politely point out that cow is as committed as the hog was to the bacon. So it's a done deal for that animal. But folks just don't know, and that's why guys like Justin come in to share and give, you know, kind of what's happening on their farm perspective. So we greatly appreciate that.
Thanks for having me.
Any here. Storm damage?
What's
absolutely.
That?
Did you have storm damage, though, by the way, that storm at Enderlin?
Yeah, so the big one was about 6 miles west of me. And then we had a small one that came from the northwest, north of me, across over 46, right to the northeast of me, about 2 miles. And I had landlords to the north of me there that got all their trees in their yard were down, and their cold storage shed went down. And yeah, then a neighbor to the west of them had just put up a brand new shed, and that was gone. So I think they called that one a EF1 or something like that. But man, I live in a double wide, so that night I was driving around because I wasn't going to stay in a double wide.
Yeah, no, don't blame you. Don't blame you.
Yeah, I might want to find a different sheltering in place location. I understand what you're saying, Justin. Fair enough. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today, because popcorn in North Dakota, well, it's a rather unique spot.
And I think he's leaving us with some samples, right, Justin?
I got some bags here.
I'm looking. So what I've got, some other popcorn at home. So I'm going to do a blind taste test, and I'll let you know if I can tell the difference.
Okay.
I'll let you know if I can tell the difference. Looking forward to trying it, for sure. Thanks again, Justin, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll have a recap on the weather for the rest of the week and take a sneak peek into the weekend, and Bridget's got a couple of ag topics to talk about as well. More on that coming up right after the break. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 1:50 in the afternoon. And temperatures outside right now are generally in the mid to some spots upper 70s. We'll rise a few more degrees into that 80-degree range across the area. And then we can't rule out an isolated shower. There's a few right now. Very light sprinkles between Ashley and Vishik, and those are moving eastward. We could see a few more of these pop up as we head into the evening hours, but again, nothing widespread. And then tonight, we'll have partly cloudy skies, upper 50s, and Wednesday, kind of a rinse and repeat of today. We'll see partly cloudy skies. Again, can't rule out an isolated shower or two on Wednesday. It does appear now the smoke is going to be a little thicker tomorrow, as a thicker plume moves in from southern Canada. Highs tomorrow in the upper 70s. Much of the same on Thursday. Still dealing with smoke, but more sunshine. Upper 70s Thursday and Friday. The weekend will have more cloud cover come in. Southerly winds will at least blow the smoke out. And a few showers over the weekend and a bed of thunderstorms as well. I don't see a total washout weekend, but it definitely looks wetter than it has been here during the week. And this weather is brought to you by Progressive Ag Risk Management. management specialists. So, Bridget, not a bad-looking forecast outside of the smoke. That's the only bad thing.
Yeah, we'll deal with that. I mean, we can, because, again, those poor folks in Canada have it way worse than we do. But I got to ask, I keep hearing you say Vishek. Are you doing that on purpose, or are you doing it because that's the way everybody in McIntosh County says it?
That's the way the locals. I was told because when I first moved here, I pronounce it like it looks, Wishick. And so I ran Wishick, I ran into one of the locals, and he pulled me aside. He goes, "Hey," he said, "it's actually like a V, Vishick." I'm like, "Really?"
Okay, wait. I'm from Wishick. That is my hometown.
Okay.
Grew up there. I am a proud Wishick Badger. And the reason someone will tell you that to say Vishick is because that is a heavy, heavy German-Russian accent.
Oh, yeah.
Many would call that Ukrainian now.
Uh-huh.
And so as a local, they just can't say it any differently. So when I go home, I am told that my accent comes back. So if I go home to Vishick, and then I want to talk about Mrs. Nitschke and her canning jars. I have a little story about her, how she called me one day to buy her canning jars. And I'm not kidding you. That's the way my whole family talks. At least it did when I was growing up. So that's where it comes from.
That's great.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is your cultural geography lesson for the day.
There you go.
Goodness. Yeah. So if Raleigh is listening, and he usually is, he's from over in Linton. And usually those guys from Linton always say, because they're at Linton. So they always called us Vishick.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So being it's July and people are busily thinking about buying their fertilizer, that may seem odd to some. Why would farmers be considering fertilizer purchases at this time of the year? Well, there's a couple reasons for it. One, we have a monster corn crop out there. And so our domestic demand this year was pretty high. We were seeing folks picking up fertilizer and its use rates pretty heavily because of that extra 5 million acres of corn than we did over last year. Also, when you think about how we import, 12% of our ammonia comes in through imports. Ammonia is our gas version or gas form of nitrogen. 33% of our phosphates and then 98% of potash. A lot of the potash is used up in our region of North Dakota, Montana, northern Minnesota because we get it so easily out of Canada. But then if you are watching to see any of the fertilizers that come in from Saudi Arabia or Russia, it's at least a 30-day lead time, more like 60, because it'll take 30 days for product to get to the port of New Orleans from either of those two countries. And then for barges to move up the Mississippi, those travel times are 12 days to St. Louis, 21 to Davenport, Iowa, and 29 to St. Paul, Minnesota. Honestly, being so close to Quincy, Illinois, and some other areas right on the Mississippi River in the last 2 days, I had not ever seen the river barges on the Mississippi or the lock system that they have to use to move those barges. That was sort of fun for me. I'm pretty sure I just about fell out of my pickup as I was staring and gawking. There was just no time or place to stop and take some photos, but it was a pretty cool operation to see. So,
isn't that is cool? It is cool to watch.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. And when you can see a section of the bridges that pivot so that they make room for the barges to travel.
Right.
And they're like parallel to shore when a barge passes and then they'll swing back into place. I also have not ever seen that until today. I was this many years old until I caught on to that.
So, hey, you're never too old to learn, right?
This whole day is nothing but a history lesson from popcorn in North Dakota to Radar O'Reilly from Ottumwa, Iowa, on and on it goes. Many of you also are talking about pollinators in your yard and things that you can be doing in your garden to increase the amount of pollinators that join you there. Well, research has been done, and there's even a guide that's called Increase Crop Yields by Managing Pollinator and Beneficial Insect Habitat. And what it can help you do is realize, what are the pollinators that are going to be coming to you, and how can you best benefit them? So we think about folks mentioning, hey, dandelions, I don't want to mow my dandelions, I don't want to kill the dandelions in my yard because I want to make sure that it's good for my pollinators, bees, etc. Well, after talking to an entomologist with his PhD specifically focusing on bees and honeybees, who's now at North Dakota State University, he will tell you that dandelions are kind of like the junk food for pollinators. You're actually in far better shape to go ahead and plant things like mint, roses. There's a lot of flowers that you can get at a garden center that would be better for the pollinators that are in your yard. Milkweed, of course, is a fan favorite, especially for the monarch butterfly. And we have watched that milkweed relocate to other places. You can have that in your yard as an ornamental, as a great way to attract the monarchs and so many other things. If you're interested in that little booklet about pollinators, you can certainly send me an email, ag@flagfamily.com, and I will share that title with you because that's a lot of words. It's not really so easy to remember. Also, lastly, fascinatingly enough, we talked with Justin Halverson today about popcorn. Well, there's a plant out there called the popcorn plant for your garden. Its real name is popcorn cassia, and it really likes the southern climates, but you can have it as an annual up here. Under the right growing conditions, it can get to 25 feet tall, but typically around 6 to 10. It has a buttery, bright yellow flower, and it's commented on that the flowers actually have a slight peanut butter aroma. Interesting enough, I wasn't expecting my popcorn plant to smell like peanut butter. And here we are. Yet another interesting thing for people to learn. So, yes, all those things going on and more in agriculture today.
Yeah. And again, if you didn't catch us earlier, both Bridget and I will be down at Hefty in Baltic on Thursday. So if you're going to be down there, be sure to stop by and say hi to us.
Looking forward to seeing a number of folks.
I might be bringing down a couple of, I got to check, but I might be bringing down a couple of rain gauges as well. Maybe we can give some of those away.
Never know. In fact, we're going to kick the week off with Wednesday Weather Trivia before we get to Baltic. Then we'll start Wednesday Weather Trivia tomorrow. Maybe there's more rain gauges in our future.
There you go. Well, for Bridget, myself, we want to thank everybody for joining us. Don't go anywhere, though. Jay Thomas Show is coming up next.